PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the Original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and I am your host and former captain of Team Hackers, Canadan or Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is a good buddy of mine. He wants to think he's the enemy, but I think he's a friend. So it's Jose Miraflor, aka Team Paradise for Life guy. Jose, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, buddy. Let's clear it first. We are friends first, and then mortal enemies when it comes to the Morgan Cup. And that's because you're such a darn good player, and you know, a record that's really hard to squash. You're so good at this game, and I love being competitive with you. I mean, who doesn't want to be competitive with the best, right? So there it is. We're friends first, and then enemies when it comes to the Morgan Cup.
You could not have dressed it up any better. Hey, I kind of have a bone to pick with you, and we're gonna go front and center with it because. Okay. Me and the homie Jeremy, JD Talks from the forum, came out for a little visit, got to hit a bunch of product, and then played. It was my first time ever playing golf with you. And not only did you not ride with me, you rode with Jeremy. So listen, like I know the line is drawn in the sand really aggressively when it comes to golf with you dudes. But it hurt my soul. And I've been thinking about it for months. It needs to be rectified at some point. That cut me deep, man. I want you to know that.
You know, it wasn't on purpose yet. It was purposeful. I mean, I don't get to play golf with Jeremy. I mean, we play in the Morgan Cup once a year for the last, 5 years? And we hardly play together. But to your point, you and I have never played together. So that wasn't on purpose. But at the same time, there was going to be a bet between our cart and yours, wasn't there?
Well, listen, we could talk about the results of that match, which I thought went great for the record. Other than you playing terrible, I had a stud in the cart with me, and thank goodness for that. Paradise goes down again when I'm present. I just want to be clear. So,
yeah, we call it a tune-up. And, you should point at that. I mean, you do have a 1-0 record, right, as a cap. So
it's true. It's true.
Yeah, so, but my record's pretty good too as an ASCAP.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. So anyways, Morgan Cup's coming up, and it's kind of a big one because this is the final iteration of the Morgan Cup. And I think it's a really good opportunity to talk about the history of the Morgan Cup in the Cobra iteration of it. It's been a really impressive run. I think it's, is this the 7th or 8th year of it?
It's 8th year. I think it's 5-3.
Okay. And I mean, what a storyline that it's been the whole time. We've seen a lot of different courses. We've seen a lot of different products. Usually it comes with a lot of hype surrounding it. And I'd really love to give you an opportunity to just talk about your experiences over this timeline and how things have changed for the better when it comes to the experience. So let me know. What do you think?
Oh, gosh. I mean, number one, we couldn't have a better partner than THP, right? Josh has been great to us for years. And, you know, I get a little emotional when I talk about Josh because we've been friends for so long. And to be able to do this, you know, seed players with equipment and get everybody to talk about their experience in getting fitted, getting the equipment, playing with it, making tweaks, and you know, the journey to the cup is, I think, just as much fun as the actual cup, because we, over the last few years, have really built up some great relationships with our fellow teammates and even across teams. You know, the people that you meet, the people that you get to play with and compete against are, you know, let's just say it, we don't meet the dregs of society playing golf. So it's nice that we get to make some, you could say, lifelong friends. I'm still in contact with the 2020 team and 2021 team all the way through. We have a group me that just never seems to end. And I get emotional because, you know, you get to see these guys who get treated like a tour pro for a few months, and to see their games and to hear them talk about the way they progress with the equipment, and even because they're getting ready for competition, to see how they prepare and to hear about the nerves and to share in that with them, I think is probably some of the most fun for me. And even, you know, Master Yagley, when he was with us and all the years he's been in it, and we both talk about it during the off season, how we can't wait. It's one of our favorite weekends of the entire year that we look forward to and really work our way towards. I mean, we don't even play future equipment, because like normally I would be playing next year's equipment starting in June or July, and we won't even touch that stuff until after the cup, because we take it so seriously with the equipment that we're going to bring. We don't dare try and even bring something from the future. So, oh man, I it's sad for me that it's coming to an end, but you know, the next whatever rendition of what we do, I think will be just as good, probably different, but just as good.
Well, all constantly evolving. The thing that really sticks with me is, you know, we joke around about being enemies on the golf course. I mean, that was 6 years ago, and we still act like it was yesterday. And you can't create something like that without a lot of emotion packed behind it, you know. Mm-hmm. And as much as I hate it that we've become lifelong enemies on the golf course, as much as I hate it, it's a really cool thing to look back to. I mean, my year was at Hag Point, and it was hilarious, good fun. The teams laughed together and then left each other and then laughed some more. Like it's such a good feeling to go and experience all that. And then to have the equipment side of it and the connection to you guys, I think each year it's really redefined itself in positive ways. And I'm really excited, not just to see how this sort of finale wraps up, considering the challenge of the golf course you will face, but also what's to come after that. I'm really pumped about that.
Yeah, I agree. This is going to be a grand finale with the All-Stars, you know, having a bunch of guys who've been on come back, and then, you know, seeing what the future brings. Going back to Hague Point for a second, I mean, that course was phenomenal. I mean, to be on an island, no cars, having a great time, Yagley, falling down. I mean, he had the bail. I'm not sure if all of you remember, but you know, Yagley on Saturday night, or it was Friday night, went out to talk to his family on the phone. He slipped on some shale, hit his head on a rock, and continued to bleed out pretty much all night. In the morning, I woke up to blood everywhere in the house. We had to take him off the island. He had to go get stitches, and he had to bail out for the day of singles. And our side, you know, we were thinking, oh, we're going to get a point from that because we needed it desperately. You guys were drumming us. We had a guy with a really bad knee who couldn't play either. So really, we just decided to give halves to both those guys. And I think we only got 1.5 points that whole singles day. You guys really put it on us. See, not that I remember anything, but there's some deep scars, you know, in that weekend. But that was a really fun place to go to. I mean, I think some of the guys even said that, you know, probably one of the best courses they'll ever play or ever got to play. So one guy said that he heard somebody say that he equates that course to like as good as a Pine Valley. And I've never played Pine Valley, but that course is that good. And we play some really great courses. And now that we're playing, you know, the Dormy courses, I mean, can you pick better places than Dormy courses? The amenities, the way they treat you, the course shape, it's just top notch. So
you guys are heading to Victoria National, right? Which is an absolute bear of a golf course. I think I've had the privilege of playing every course in network with the exception of Arbor, and it is without a doubt the most punishing, especially when you're offline a little bit. It really doesn't give you much to think about off the tee other than you might want to hit the fairway, and then you might want to hit the green from there. So like All-Star event, what better place to go than one of the harder properties? And what an opportunity to celebrate the Cobra equipment from this year, when precision matters more than anything. And I really hope you guys are practicing to get ready, because it's coming up. It's quite soon.
Yeah, we're, 3 weeks away?
I think you're right, yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait, buddy. I think, our team has been talking a lot on our GroupMe chats, and yeah, everybody's ready for, what's to come. There's a lot of water, and you got to hit it straight. And, of course, you guys have seen have they posted the teams yet?
Teams are up there, yeah.
Right? So, yeah, I mean, Jeremy and I had some long talks, and the team had some long talks about the matchups and how would you position a shamble, getting one person a chance. Normally you can just make it so one person's really accurate and one person hits it really long. This time there's an emphasis on accuracy off the tee, right? You gotta make sure it's in play. And the same thing for alternate shot. I mean, geez, there's no better game than screw your neighbor. Well, a lot of water out there, and you got to put it in play. And there are no sorries in team play, right? You don't apologize. You just, you're trying your best. What's your partner going to say when you're giving it your all? So,
yeah, there are quite a few holes out there where you can really get aggressive and greedy, but man, it will cost you if you miss. And I think that's great for team competition, because you have a chance to define the round almost immediately out of the gate. And then, I'm thinking of hole two as an example. If you really blast a drive down there, you can be pretty close to that green, but you can also make a big mistake. And there are a handful of holes like that on the front nine. So whether you're playing 9-hole matches or 18 matches, like it's going to be defined very quickly. And there's going to be like a lot of twosomes that are hanging on for dear life when they come around to five or six, and I can't wait to follow along. It's going to be a riot. But I also want to turn that back to the discussion on product this year, because you guys have come up with a driver that is really impressive, with features that have aggressively helped players dial in the setup they want with Future Fit. I'd love to hear from you, Hose, on how things are going with that, the overall perspective that people have had, and what's the feedback you've received?
It's been mostly positive feedback. Our custom sales are skyrocketed. Our retailers talk about it. The top fitters in the nation, whether you work at TruSpec or Club Champion or even some of the best custom fitting houses that are independents, say the same thing. It's the most complete hosel fitting system they've ever seen. To be able to have a true neutral where you can go in any direction, 2 degrees of adjustment, is never been able to be done before. Everything's always been tilted. Either you move the loft and you're tilting everything draw, or you move the loft and you're tilting everything to fade. And then you have the Titleist one, which was the best. I can say it, which was the best until we came along. It was somewhat of a neutral, and you can go a little fade and a little lower in loft, but it was mostly more loft or more draw bias. To be able to give somebody 33 settings, and this is the part where it's been the negative, is when you're talking to golfers out there that don't understand fitting, they think they have to try and pick out of 33 settings, and it scares them, right? And that's unfortunate, because really, you only need to test 2 to 3, maybe 4 settings, but in a driver, because once you admit where your miss is, like mine is, over the years been low left, I just have to pick in the quadrant in the high rights of the fitting system, and I quickly settle down into B6 for my first setting, and then I move to A6, and now I'm an A5. Which is just the flattest angle setting and the correct loft for the lowest amount of spin that my drive can tolerate without being too low of spin. And it's easy, right? You, like I said, 3 settings, and you get dialed pretty darn quickly.
Yeah, I feel like that conversation was had a lot at the start of the year with people saying, man, there's a lot going on here. But then you guys created this beautiful mandala looking presentation where it literally shows you, like, if your shot is going here, just flip it and go to the other side and just dance around in that area. And having learned that, it took exactly 4 seconds to figure it out and stop relying on, oh, let me read this adapter. Let me just look at this very easy to see chart. I was fitting my buddy like a pro. Within days, he purchased the driver because he hit it so well. And still to this day, it's the best driver I've ever seen him hit. So the idea that you can't figure it out is so unrealistic. But I do have a question that relates to that because of what your role is. When you're balanced, this balancing act of adjustment versus plug and play versus control, I know there's a really challenging grouping there where people want the option or they get paralyzed by it. So when it comes to marketing that or discussing that or even releasing product that has a ton of that in it, where's the balancing act that you guys land on? How do you decide what you can go to market to and what's too much or too little?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that is a delicate balancing point because you don't want to ruin stock sales where people just buy it off the rack. You don't want them to feel like they have to get fitted by a true fitting professional, because you should, but you don't have to. And that's why we made this app that's, if you focus your camera on that QR code on any of our metals, it brings up the app and it asks you all the right questions. Tell us where on this grid your ball flight is predominantly, and then we make the recommendations and you go try it. So you can buy a product off the rack, and that's very important for the golf business, because if you're only buying custom, then nobody assorts products in the store for people to look at, try, and see all the different shafts and see all the different models. That's still very important to be able to have as a retail presence, to so people can just see, oh, there are four heads. Oh my gosh, there are 6 different shafts. There are different lofts here and there. What's the one that's right for me? And hopefully the app that we've created really helps that. But at the same time, we want people to know that we are continuing to innovate in this business and giving golfers solutions for all the different swings that are out there, and really 4 different drivers with a future fit setting and all the lofts we offered in, and those lofts have different lie angles. A true fitter can really help you find the ultimate driver for you. And we want people to know that, but we also want people who want the quick, easy, hey, I'm going to buy it off the rack, that they should have confidence that our drivers off the rack are already long and you can tune it to your swing too.
The idea that you are the fitter is kind of a cool concept. I mean, it really doesn't take much to have a ton of flexibility. And I think that's great. You know, Hose, what we haven't done yet, we haven't talked new product, because you guys just dropped a new set of irons, the Baffler. It's something we've seen before. There are familiar elements that everyone has loved in the past from Cobra and the rails. How excited are you, and who is Baffler really geared toward?
Wow. I'm excited because it covers a segment of golfers that really could use the help. Exactly what the Baffler was designed for. What is it? 1975. The way the Baffler product was introduced was at a PGA show. I'm not sure if you know this story, but our president and founder took it to the PGA show, and he challenged golf pros. He walked them outside to the sidewalk into the parking lot, and he put a golf ball down in the ground, and he held up this first ever persimmon looking thing with a brass rail sitting down on that, right? And Tom Crow said to the guys, here, hit this ball over these cars. And not a single pro, you're talking golf pros back then, they did one thing well. They played. That's what they were about. They weren't running a corporate business. They were players that ran golf shops, right? And so he took it, and you guys may not know who Tom Crow is, but Tom Crow was a very recognized amateur golfer in Australia who moved to the USA and saw an opening in developing golf clubs for people that were true solutions, where he started with drivers and then he worked his way to this hybrid. And with all the weight in that brass sole, he easily elevated the ball off the cement over the cars, and everybody just lost their shit over it. And quickly, that was the first utility club that was ever designed, 1975, Baffler Rails. And here we are, 2025, 50 years later, launching this Baffler set of irons that attempt to do the same thing. Now, we've gotten better over the years. Our clubs are now hollow, so we're moving even more weight lower and creating that low CG. But this Baffler set of irons could be for anybody who is struggling to play this game that we all love. So you could say beginners. You could say aging golfers, people who are getting slow enough where they need help getting the ball up in the air. Those who aren't that precise, who may hit it a little fat once in a while or a little thin, you know, or guys like you and I, we on a Sunday morning, we're so hungover from partying the night before. Having an iron set like this, you can get the ball airborne and it's going to go straight and far. You know, people ask, what are the lofts of these? And, you know, the lofts aren't weak because we've developed so much easy up in these irons that are hollow on some of them. It's a set of five different constructions. You got a hybrid, you got a hollow iron, right? I call it the hybrid iron. It's like a hybrid and iron together. And then there's a hollow iron, a cavity back iron, and a specialty wedge all in the set. We literally took the set and said, what's the best irons or what best construction we can put into this iron as what it's needed for? Specialty wedge, you can open it up around the green. The last T-rail set we had, you couldn't open up that wedge. It was kind of clunky, so we redid that. A pitching wedge and that is very precise in scoring. It's a cavity back iron, and that's all you really need there. Then you have a hollow iron that gives you enough speed and enough launch to really get 7 and 8 going. And then you got, you know, you got a 6 and 5 that are the hollow hybrid type that really gets the ball airborne and gives you distance. And then of course the hybrid, which is the easiest to hit of them all. So we really work on that for the team. And this set's been in development for a couple years. We're excited about the numbers it's producing. And we think that the slower swing speeds have a really good answer for what they could be using as a set of irons. So very exciting for that.
Yeah, we've seen the rails quite a bit. I mean, I hate to constantly go back to the same release to talk about how it sort of redefined Cobra in my mind, but F9 was such a big year for me. Seeing the rails in those woods back then even were incredibly supportive for a guy like me who played low loft but also played it off the tee and off the deck. Mm-hmm. You know, the benefits are clearly there. So to see some level of continuation is a great thing, especially for those who need support interacting with the turf. I will ask you one question because I've seen it come up on the THP forum before. Someone said, make rails great again or something like bring back rails, you know, that kind of comment. So as much as you've adjusted and changed or adapted, if you will, over the years, how often do you look at these rail systems as maybe this is something we apply to more than just this type of iron?
Yeah, I mean, the rails are very usable. They're the most, I mean, if you think about it, how many technologies last for 50 years, right? Something that you've been doing, I mean, hollow metals, you know, that started in steel, now it's titanium, you know, titanium's giving way to carbon. So, but these rails, you know, have been around for a long time, and yes, we could put them in more things. Now, for some golfers who are pickers of fairway woods, because, you know, an angle of attack of a fairway wood is somewhere around the 3 to 5 degrees downward, or as low as shallow as stand 0 to even a +1. Rails are better for people who are striking down on it. And that's why Ricky Rick has been using rails in a 5-wood for years. That's why he likes it, because he does like to hit down. If it is in a bad spot or a bad lie, he depends on the rails to make sure he doesn't, he can get down there to the ball and hit it through the turf and it glides back out. So I have my opinions on it are, you know, at 16, 17 degrees, I think rails work great for somebody and above. I believe at 15, 13, you probably shouldn't be hitting down on it that much. And if you're not, when you have rails, you'll feel like you're thinning the ball. And that's a bad thing, right? If you're a picker of the golf ball, rails are good because they can help you feel like you can go down after it. You're going to hit the ball a little bit higher on the face, get the CG of the club below the golf ball. And you and I both know when you do that, the ball goes higher, flies further, the spin's greater. It's a much better shot. And that's what rails, I hope, gives people the ability to do, is be more aggressive, learn that turf interaction. But if you're an experienced golfer and you pick the ball, rails may not be the right thing for you because the CG is a little higher relative to the ground if you're not putting the rails into the turf. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does. I mean, hey, King Tech's not a slouch, so go take a look at those irons.
I have something here to show you. This is a prototype, and I'm not supposed to show this stuff, but since I'm on your show,
okay,
you know, a lot of people don't know that we have a set of fairway woods that we use on tour only. Yeah. And when we put things on tour, we position it as king. Right. And I was speaking to you about Ricky's 5-wood that has rails. Would you love to see what his 5-wood could look like or does look like?
Oh, you better believe we do. I mean, I do.
Okay. So there is. Oh, I got.
You might have to stick your hand behind it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I can't show you my walls, everyone, because, you know, there's stuff on there you're not supposed to see. So there's a 5-wood shape. Pretty cool. Yeah. Let me do this. See if this helps.
Nope. For those listening in audio, we're getting a little bit of show and tell here. So you might want to check the video on THP or on YouTube.
There's the face, right?
Yeah.
And you can see the future fit on there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Now, take a look at the bottom.
Oh, here we go. I mean, there are people who will be freaking out over this, Hose, for the record.
Yeah. So this is the King Tech fairways. Yeah.
Very cool.
They're just now making their way on tour. We're not selling them, so don't get upset. We don't sell these. These are for our tour team only. Many people don't know this, but we're pretty well known for our fairways. On tour, we have probably 20 to 24 fairways in play every week, and we don't have that many tour players, everyone. So we have a lot of other players looking to utilize our fairway woods. Our standard adapts, our X fairway is a beast on tour. And then these tech fairways, the King Tech fairways, have been out there before without the future fit. And now this year we just put the future fit into them. They're quite heavy because we, as you guys may or may not know, most tour teams, tour people play their club shorter than what we sell in the marketplace. They have the speed. They don't need the extra fulcrum length to make the speed. So they make them shorter. So for example, Ricky's 5-wood, is about an inch and a half shorter than most people would play their fairway wood. And so it's heavy. So we don't sell it because I can't make a 43.5-inch 3-wood out of it, or, you know, a 42.75-inch 5-wood out of it. The swing weights are too heavy. And people say, well, then just make them shorter the way Ricky plays them. But now you can't put them into a fitting cart because none of the shafts are cut the right length. So there's a lot of things to prevent us from commercializing this piece. But inevitably, someone like you could say, Hose, really want to try one for Christmas. Could you send me something? And you never know. Something could work out even for a friend of me.
I do want to talk more about tour stuff. But it's a little bit different. It's something we've seen a lot this year. And I think everyone's curious about the 3DP train, where it's going and how you're adapting to the iron space, because, you know, we've seen Tour, we've seen some versions of it in some of your pros bags. And you know, I might've seen a couple things. So where do you guys stand on the 3D printed iron space?
Oh, you're going to make me let the cat out of the bag. You're not going to say it. You're going to let me start it and you're going to jump in. Is that what we're doing here?
That is the goal. Yeah.
Okay. For the record, it's only 9:15 in the morning, so I haven't had any cocktails for him to lube me up and get me loose-lipped. But I'm feeling very giving today. So let's talk about what we can talk about. How did we get Max Homa to come to our humble little family when he was being sought after by Titleist, who we've with 19 years, and the guys down the street, the other brand T was going big after him, offering big money. This is how we got him, everyone. In August of last year, he was the first person to try the Future Fit system. In fact, our tour guy debuted it with him in August, and he said, "I can't believe how easy that was to dial in a driver." So that was step one. He hit our muscle backs, loved them. We have great muscle backs. I know some of you play them. If you haven't, here's what Max says about our irons. I have been on tight. I met him that August when he hit balls, but I spent time with him last November at our photo shoot, TV shoot. And I was fitting him, just checking in his irons. We're fitting into more dialing on the driver. And he said to me, I asked him, I said, "So, Max, what do you think about these irons that you're playing?" And he said, "You know, when I tried your irons, one of the things I loved was how good they go through the turf." He goes, "I've been a Titleist guy for 19 years, and I've never felt irons go through the turf as smoothly as these do. You have all the feel, you have the precision, but these go through the turf so well." He goes, "That's what I thought at first." And then somebody asked me, you know, "What would I change on our muscle back forgings that would make them more suitable for me?" And he said, I said, "I prefer a little bit more offset, and I'd love to thin out this top line." Well, we have 3D printing, so we took that information from him. We took the CAD from our original muscle backs, and we thinned the top line. We had a little bit more offset, and then we 3D printed him a set. And 4 weeks later, we brought him a set of irons, and he said, what's this?" And the tour team said, "Basically, you said you wanted thinner top line and more offset, so we 3D printed you a set, and that's how fast it can be." And he was literally blown away. That's why he came. He goes, "If this is a sample of what your service can be, if I'm looking to make small tweaks, how do I say no to a family that treats me like this?" Right. And so we had him at hello at that point. So he plays a 3DP muscle back iron from pitching wedge all the way through his six iron. On his five iron, he plays a King Tour five iron. And on the four iron, he plays a 3DP Tour four iron. So he has a nice little flow set, absolutely loves it. And here's what happened at that photo shoot. I was working with him on the range. We were talking, and Gary Woodland came by, kind of gave me the people's elbow. He's like, "Bro, I've been with you guys for 2.5-3 years, and I don't have a 3DP set. What the?" And I can't say what he said, right? Because Gary's such a great dude. And I said, "Of course, bro, yours is on the way." So, you know, we made him his set. So those are the two sets that we have for players to choose from. But most people play Gary's, right? It's the smaller amount of offset. It's the standard. It's basically taking our current forged muscle back and making a 3D printing, which means we're allowed to remove material in the center, allows us to put a lot of tungsten heel and toe, making it more forgiving. So it's as forgiving as the King Tour iron. Can you believe that? It's as forgiving as two irons larger than the muscle back, because there's a there's a King CB and then there's the King Tour. And I know a bunch of your audience knows who what those irons are, but this muscle back iron is as forgiving as the cavity back and as forgiving in some irons as the King Tour. In fact, we don't even make a cavity back version 3D printed because we don't need it. The muscle back iron is that forgiving. And so those are the irons that are being used on tour. I'll say it now and you could chime in. You got a chance to hit these when you visited last.
Which ones did I hit?
You hit the muscle back 3D printed, the tour 3D printed, and then a prototype of something else. I will not mention the name. You can't get me to violate my own embargo on that.
So in clarity, I was talking about which one of the MBs did I hit. Was it Gary's or?
You hit the production model, which is Gary's.
So Gary's. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. And I have a lot to ask about this for the record, but I want to start this question with how far away are you guys from someone coming to you and saying, hey, I want this product, but these are the subtle things I want. I want a little bit more offset. I would like this amount of offset. I would like this amount of like toe shaping. How far away do you think, is that even possible? Obviously it's custom, obviously it's expensive, but how far away are you? So we do not have a break in the show right now. This is just, I'm getting eyeballed pretty aggressively by my friend.
If Master Yagley was sitting right here,
yeah,
I'll channel him. Dan, that's such a great question. We are closer than further away in doing that. Imagine, if you will, you coming to a fitting where you can hit different irons with different offsets, different top lines, different heel to toe lengths, different shapes, and you could tell us exactly what you want, and we go make it for you. Doesn't that sound awesome?
Well, yes, it does. Yeah.
And how much would you be willing to pay
for
a set of irons like that that would take us, let's just dream together, 2 months to deliver to your doorstep? How much would somebody pay for that?
I would assume quite a few would pay quite a bit. So I don't really have the answer to that.
The standard set is $2,450 for seven irons. You'd be up above $3,000. And I think people would say, oh, heck yeah. You mean I get a one-off built for me? Say, for example, you hit it on the toe by a couple millimeters. That's your average hit spot. Can you imagine moving the center of gravity right there so that no longer twists? And now that's a pure straight shot. I mean, think of the limitless ideas that we can do. And that's why we came up with the limited irons, because at one point it was the unlimited irons, because when we start to really get going on this 3D printing stuff, your choices could be unlimited in what you could design for yourself. Now you got to be careful. There have been many a tour player that's designed an iron for themselves because they want it to look like that, or they think it could be that, and it hasn't worked out. You've seen that over your tenure in golf many times with many different players. So you got to be careful. That's why we think it needs to be a hitting sequence where you're working with a qualified fitter that can show you what those different things can do. It sounds like we're pretty far along, right? I'm describing it to you.
It's just an interesting concept, right? Because we make these subtle concessions, whether it's our favorite brand or whether it's a design feature we're looking for. And I want to sort of bring that into our next point of the conversation, which would be when I actually hit the irons. I had a great time hitting tour, and I was pretty invested in that being the presentation and presence that I needed. And then I hit MB a bunch of times. I get this guy named Roger behind me laughing at me because I keep hitting the MB perfect. And it's like, what are you looking for? What don't you have here? And I think we as creatures of habit fear what we don't know. And we also try and live in a small world. But when you guys as designers and companies create something that's beyond our comprehension, like let's say an MB that supports me like a CB, I'm going to sort of fight it a little bit, right?
Yeah. It's never been done. I mean, it's hard to trust the unknown, right? But once you hit it a few times and spend time with it, guys like you get quickly comfortable. the more times you hit it and hit it great, the easier it is to accept that it's the truth, right?
Yeah.
It's reality.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, it was insanely fun hitting them, experiencing the difference. You know, you fall into the world of, okay, that's what they say, but what can it actually do? And I don't think I got as much of an impact with that from the CB perspective, from the tour, because I guess you can't really call it a CB, but from the tour perspective, because it is performing the way I would hope that kind of product would, with maybe a little bit of help. But in the MB, in the swap to the MB, was where I really felt it. It was like where I would normally expect some distance loss or some shaping issues where I'm like turning the ball over a little too much or whatever it might be. I really wasn't fighting that the way I would normally fight it with a muscle back. And when you're in that type of iron, I feel like it's more finite, because if you're that kind of player, your misses won't be as magnified, but mm-hmm. they'll still be there. So when mm-hmm. I was repeatedly doing that, and again, having this guy heckle me from about 10 feet behind me the whole time, it was pretty fun to experience that and say, okay, yeah, they really are doing some stuff there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got to credit the innovation team. We have an awesome innovation team here. Yagley, you know, when he left, there are still another bunch of guys below him that are outstanding. And Ryan Roach, our guy who's been the pioneer of 3D printing, has been doing it for 7 years plus. And when he designed this muscle back with our help and the help of tour players and things like that, I mean, he really got it right. And I can't wait to see it. Now, let's not get crazy. The world full of muscle back irons out there is not what I want, right? I think the muscle backs is a nice thing to have for the best players in the world. I think most people should live in the 3DP tour. But if you ended up making a flow set, like, you know, imagine a nice set that flows from like a pitch to a 7 iron that's MB. So your scoring irons are that trajectory you're looking for, the spin control and the forgiveness you need in those, you know, short scoring irons. And then let's say above that, you go to a King Tour where it gives you the launch and the forgiveness when you're swinging even harder to hit further distances. It's there to back you up in case you do miss it a little bit more than you do your shorter irons, right? That's the ultimate set, in my opinion, something like that.
Well, I'm not going to force you to say anything, buddy. I promise you. And plus, you haven't been drinking, so we can't push it too hard. But you mentioned there's a third one in the line. I've seen it. But is it pretty fair to allow people to assume certain things about it, or are you going to make them guess?
They can guess. I mean, you THP are smart people, and you see a standard player's distance iron here. You got a muscle back. If I said there's a third iron, where would you guys put it? I can tell you that Dan hit this a country mile. He hit it super high. He never misses it off center, but if he did, it didn't go anywhere but straight. So there, I'll be brief with it, but let's just say that, you know, if you need more help than a 3DP tour, there could be something in the way that you might consider.
Not quite as high as the Baffler, though.
No, the Baffler is, it's the blue pill of golf. It's going to help you get it up no matter what you do.
Jeez. Well, I think it's fun to see that kind of innovation where you are channeling what you have and creating potential spinoffs, almost, if you will, from it, that support a larger range of golfers, probably on the handicap spectrum. I think that's fun. But the other side of that is, and again, I root my passion for Cobra in the F9 series. It's what really brought me on board. Even at that time, you had the Speedback irons, which I played, I think, a four iron in.
Everybody hit that 4 iron. It was
because,
so
like, Ricky at the Waste Management, like, everyone loved that thing because it was so easy to hit. It was like a cheater stick. I had this crazy long shaft I put in it that I was carrying it like, you know, 240 without any thought. And it just, like, those are the kind of things that I get excited about. So when you have products that can do that kind of thing in a position where you don't expect a lot of control over, when you get that control, it gets really exciting.
It really does. It really does. I'm excited about the irons that we have coming out in January. And I can tell you, as you know, I'm in charge of the product architecture for the Cobra brand. There are a lot of future products that I'm very excited about that I think your viewers will really get excited about when the time comes. You know, it's not a sprint, it's a long race. We got a bunch of things that we're working on, and a couple more besides the ones we've talked about. I'm very excited about.
Awesome. Hey, I'm not going to press you any harder. You've already given us a lot of gems today. Do you want to offer up any final thoughts or threats to Team Hackers before you wrap up today and we get ready for the Morgan Cup?
No threats. You know me. I'm a calm, collected person. I wish they were talking more shit to us, because I use that to fuel the fire. You know that, right? I wish there were like eggplant emojis and things like that, because those are what made us completely turn and drum, right, people, when that stuff happens. But I think this is going to be a tight event. I think I've looked at their handicaps. I know some of their players, and it's good. I mean, I think this is going to be all about who has the right pairings, team pairings, and in what order they go out in, who they play. And then, you know, the singles matches is what it's supposed to be, right? That's what can change whoever's winning after day one. The singles can really change that. And I love doing that live at the dinner. Everybody's hot and bothered, drinking, having a good time. And then we start putting up names, who's playing who. And it's not just who you play, everyone. It's also who's in the cart with you on your team. Can they pump you up? You know, I don't want to divulge, because, you know, Jeremy and I have had a system that we've been using for years, and it's worked out pretty well for us. I think this is going to be a tight one. Now, who knows what JDAX is going to say? I mean, that whole rating thing, I love watching it every year. It went from underdogs for every year we've ever played. And then last year we were favored, and we didn't win. So I'm sure he's going to try and give us the favor, and then we're going to probably, you know, we could lose. It's the last cup. We're going to take it pretty serious.
Well, right? I want to hear a prediction right now. Your singles match, you don't even know you're going to play. I want to know what you think the results will be.
It doesn't matter. I'm going to close them out 4-3.
4-3. It doesn't matter. You heard it here first, folks. The Morgan Cup is a special celebration with THP and Cobra every year. I really encourage anyone who's listening to this to go check out the live update thread that goes up on THP each time it starts. It's always chaos. It's always a lot of fun. Get to see some great golf, some questionable golf, some delicious food. It's always an adventure and a celebration. So go check that out. We got one final thought here.
One final thought.
Okay.
That may have came off kind of cocky, saying 4-3. Didn't mean it that way. But J-Man, if you're watching, you've been ducking me for years. I think we need to make this happen. You've been shit-talking me in person, and it's now or never. Little guy could break you in half, big dude. So there it is. Calling him out.
I don't know what to say. And respectfully, Hose, because of what you did, my money's on J-Man. Take that.
Oh, I know. He'd probably beat me, and it'd be the biggest thing ever, right? I'm here to make people happy, and if he beats me, he beats me. But, you know, in the end, it's all about that fun and looking at each other in the eye when somebody makes the putt. You've been there.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Like when we played, and I think I actually – didn't I beat you straight up that day? I was pretty darn good.
No,
and the looks
not.
You give me when I make putts, I love the looks when I make putts. And you give me that steely-eyed Dan Edwards, Canada Dan. Oh, you little shit. I'm going to break you in half. I love it.
I don't think you did, but we'll remember it whatever way we need to, right?
I have a scorecard.
Yeah, I'd burn that if I were you. Or otherwise, next time you got to give me strokes, and you don't want that. So
so much fun, buddy.
All right, friends. Hey, if you are playing golf this weekend, have a great time. Go check out some Cobra products. Insane drivers this year and the 3D printed stuff. It kind of sort of haunts me at night. So yeah, play well this weekend and we'll see you guys next week. Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education brought to you by True Temper.
What's going on, everybody? Jackson Bragg here, product marketing coordinator at True Temper Sports, coming at you today with another episode of Shaft University. One of our questions, biggest differences between Project X LS and Project X LZ. Project X LZ, standing for loading zone technology, has a little softer midsection compared to the LS, help you get the golf ball up a little quicker with a little bit more spin, help you get your peak apex higher. LS, on the other hand, super low launch, super low spin. Someone that likes to get really aggressive from the top of their golf swing and really pulls the handle in transition. The profiles are completely different, and I would argue that they wouldn't fit the same player. Hope that helps.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.